Revelation chapter 1.
I'm going to go fast, okay? So you hang on. I preached a sermon one time on if I were the devil, what would I want in a church? And tonight I want to preach to you the opposite of that. I want to say, if I were the Lord, what would I want in this church? If I were the Lord. You ever thought about that? What does the Lord want? Now, people tell me, they say, well, we want a church with praise bands. We want a church with new style music. We want a church with old style music. We want a church with lots of young people. We want a church with older people. We want a church that's big. We want a church that's small. We don't want old. We want a young. And it goes on and on. But what I want to ask people is, what would the Lord want? That's what we ought to be asking. And there's a lot of things I just can't find in the Scripture that the Lord would ever want in a church. I can't find any entertainment. I can't find any physical education or basketball or baseball or football. But I found three basic things. I'll go real fast. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, if you will. Now, in verse 9, he says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle on the called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And ain't that where we're supposed to be, in the Spirit? Amen. Amen. On the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He had on his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead. Boy, this don't sound like anything churches we know now, does it? I fell at his feet as dead. And when he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for the great testimonies. What a blessing to hear people that love you and not ashamed of it. Thankful people that get a blessing out of church, a blessing out of preaching, a blessing out of Christian fellowship. But Lord, we need another touch tonight too. So we ask you to touch us one more time, Lord. Meet with us as you already have. Speak to our hearts. If we need it, change our lives. If not, encourage what we do. That's what we need, Lord. And help us to have the church that Jesus would want. And we'll thank you for it through all eternity in Jesus' name. What would Jesus want to see in his church? I thought about this first. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says this. And I'm going to go fast. If you want to turn, do it. But verse 15 says this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He said, I'm writing this so you'll know how to behave at church. Which is the church of the living God. And look at this. And pillar and ground of the truth. I think that the number one thing Jesus would want in his church is truth. Amen. I think he wants truth. And we're supposed to be the pillar. That's what holds up the truth. And the ground of the truth. That's what's holding up the pillar. then we ought to be established in truth in the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There shouldn't be any mixture of error. There should be no doubt.
Amen.
It's the Word of God or it's not. Amen?
Amen.
It's not suppositional. Right. It's not hypothetical. It's a not, I believe it this way, you believe it that way. He wants us to know the truth of God. I'm glad when I first got saved, a man came to me and he gave me a bag full of preaching tapes. I probably hadn't been saved a month. He gave me a, Wayne Henson, gave me a grocery bag, a old-fashioned, barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling preaching. Boy, and the Lord, and I really believe this, that Monday morning I woke up with the flu. The Lord gave me the flu. I believe that. And I stayed in bed with the flu. I couldn't get out of bed. I was so sick. And I laid in that bed, and I got me a little cassette player. And all week long, while I was sweating and hurting all over and taking Advil and everything else, I was listening to preaching. I'd put in one tape, and I'd weep through that tape. You know, I was half sick and half rejoicing. You know, I'd put in another tape. I'd get the rejoicing and praising the Lord. And that week, God put me through the flu, but He taught me so much truth in 1 week, I never would have got that if I attended church for a year. I got all that in 1 week.
Amen.
Then He came back to me, and He gave me another bag full of, and y'all may remember the name, a man named Oliver B. Green. You remember Oliver B. Green? He gave me all those little booklets. Oliver B. Green had these little booklets about that big. It was mostly scripture. There was very little comment in it. It'd be a sentence he would say, and then it'd be 15 scriptures. And man, I got to reading those things, and I got grounded in my salvation that week. I read all of them in 1 week. And I got grounded in my salvation that week. I really got grounded. And then God made it possible that I heard great preacher and all that. But the best thing I found is now I could sit down and I could read the Bible and understand it. Because the author was now living in me. The author of those scriptures. And after a few months, I could tell you if a man was out of the book and had his own opinion instead of Scripture.
Yes.
I could tell you false doctrine just after about a month of just reading the Bible. And things started just coming alive. And I didn't know it, but I made up my mind in those first few months after my salvation that everything I believed and everything I thought about Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the church, how to live for God, was going to come out of the Word of God and nowhere else. I made my mind up at that. I lost friends over that. I lost Christian friends over that. Matter of fact, church I got saved in got mad at me over some things over that. But I made up my mind, let God be true and every man a liar. I was going to follow the Word of God. If I lost everything I had, I was going to follow the Word of God. He saved me. He rescued me. And I really didn't care what anybody else thought anymore. I want to know what the Bible said. Amen? And John 8:32, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and truth sets you free. Now, I think if the Lord came to this church, the first thing He'd want to know is, do you preach the truth?
Amen.
Do you teach the truth? Do your people understand the truth? Do the people in this church promote truth? That would be the number one thing. Because He is truth. There's never been another truth outside of Him. And all of truth that's ever existed came from God Himself.
Amen.
I think He'd want us to know. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. There's a lot of people sold out on the truth because it offends people. Let me tell you something. When I first started attending church and I was lost and going to hell, that preacher would get up and preach, and it offended me. It hurt my feelings. That man was hurting my feelings. He was preaching against everything I wanted to be and ever was. But you know what I said? Came out of the Bible. I can't argue with that. Then after I got saved, as God was changing me and remaking me, and I was getting out of the world and into Him, the more I'd hear preaching, the more I'd hear teaching, the more I'd read the Bible, the more truth I'd get, the more it offended me. But I decided if it offends me, then I'm wrong and He's right, and I'm going to go His way, not my way. I'll never forget. That camera ain't on tonight. I can walk around. I'll never forget. You don't know how hard that is for me to stand in one place. I'll never forget. We went to hear Sammy Allen. Your daddy took me here. So I never heard him. Y'all ain't never heard of Sammy Allen. You have? I think he's still living. He's about 80, pushing 90. Sammy, he'd stand there and get to sweating. He'd get to preaching like this. Sweat just go all over you. He got pulling them grasses one night. He said, one day I thought about the grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. He got to preaching on the grace of God, spinning them. He quoted 5 verses on the grace of God. He'd throw his head back like that and just start quoting scriptures and twirl them glasses. Never opened the Bible, and you could follow him. He never missed a lick. He knew the whole New Testament. And so I liked him. Boy, I liked that. So the second time they took me, I done got me a haircut. It was still parted in the middle, but I had fender skirts. Right there, fender skirts. I didn't know that's what you called them. That's what he called them. And he was just preaching and sweating and preaching. He'd be soaking wet. Preaching and sweating. He did all over you, you know. It was holy sweat, holy spit. He spit on you. And boy, he got to preaching on effeminate men. Now, this was in the early 80s by then. Effeminate men. Y'all know what that is, don't you? I'm not going to get too detailed because... Yeah. And he walked over there and he said, and them there men, they don't like to get haircuts. He did. He put his hand Romans on. And then he said, when they do, they want to hold back and get them their fender skirts. Next week, got me a haircut. He hurt my feelings. But you know what? He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think verse 10, it said, what? Know you not? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Well, it was to me that night. But what I'm saying is, a church, I think Jesus wants truth more in a church than he wants feelings. Amen. I think he likes our feelings. I think he liked what you did tonight, that you stand up and weep and smile and laugh and testify. But you know what I think he likes more? I think he wants his church to be the pillar and the foundation of the truth. And of all places in town, should there not be some place in town to where we can go and hear the unadulterated truth of the Word of God? Is there not some place that we ought to be able to say, boy, I tell you what, I don't know everything, and I don't know all about the Bible, but if you can get down there at our church, we've got the truth down there. You'll get the truth, amen? And we're not going to candy coat it, and we're not going to pussyfoot around. And our old preacher's not going to nippy-nip. He's going to step on your feet sometimes, and you're just going to have to endure it or get it over with and get it right. Amen? Come on, man. By the way, it wouldn't offend you. If you were right, it wouldn't offend you. You know, people make fun of Baptists all the time. You know, it don't offend me. They're right. I'm a Baptist. I ain't ashamed of that. But I make fun of their religion. They get mad at me. You know why? They're not too sure whether their religion's right or not. Amen? So they're easily offended. But there ought to be a place. Cornerstone Baptist Church ought to be known for standing for the truth. Believing the Bible right. Behaving right. Our words ought to be right. Our ways ought to be right. Our worship ought to be right. Our walk ought to be right. Everything about us, our appearance, our behavior, everything about this place right here ought to be right. And I know y'all get mad at me sometimes because I tell you to put some clothes on and dress like you're going to church, and this ain't no stinking elevation or levitation or whatever else they call them things nowadays. This is old-fashioned, Bible-believing church. We're not taking church off the sign. It's not a center. It's a church. Amen. And it's not community. It's Baptist. It's Baptist when you got here. And if you leave, it'll be Baptist when you leave. Amen. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. We believe the Bible from kiver to kiver. And we like the old mountain preacher. We even believe the kiver where it says Holy Bible. Amen. I believe that's what Jesus would want. Don't you? I think that pleases him, don't you? Yeah. Amen. We ain't backing up, apologizing. Amen. We're not tearing that page out just because it offends somebody that carries a rainbow flag. Amen. We're not taking that out just because it offends somebody that don't like Jesus. Amen. We're going to keep it in there. All right. Now, I got time. It ain't dark yet. 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Would you agree with me? I think Jesus would want a place that's all about truth. Look at chapter 13. I named my daughter Charity out of this chapter. Now that word charity does not mean giving money, okay? It means have a loving, that giving kind of love. That's what that means. A giving kind of, not just a love, not just an affection, but the kind of love that you love somebody enough, you'll give them something. That's why we call it charity. All right? Look at chapter 13. Is your throat dry? My throat's dry. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. In other words, you're making noise, but you're cold and hard. I know some people like that. I know some Baptists like that. I know some Baptist preachers like that. I don't care nothing about nobody. It's cold and hard. Amen? Amen. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and by the way, we all have that. Every one of us has got the gift of prophecy. We're the only people on planet Earth that can look at other people and say, I'm going to tell you the future. If you get saved by Jesus Christ, you can go to heaven. If you don't, you won't. That's prophecy right there. Amen? And we have the gift of prophecy. And understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now that's unconditional love. It's not that kind of love where I'll love you if you love me. It's not that kind where, well, I like you as long as you treat me good. It's not that kind of love to where I love you as long as the circumstances are right. Amen? A lot of people go into marriage with that kind of junk. It doesn't last. And you can't have a church like that and it lasts. Amen? And I think Jesus, if he came to Cornerstone Baptist Church, number one, he'd want to know it's the pillar and ground of the truth. Number two, I think he would want to know it's a place of love. Don't you?
Amen.
I believe that. I really believe that. I believe that he would want to know that this is a place where the truth is spoken, but it's spoken in love. Now, growing up, I never heard that. I always heard people, they point their finger at me and say, boy, if you don't quit that, you're going straight to hell. Well, I knew that already. I knew if there was a hell, I'd go. I knew I was headed that way pretty quick. Everybody I knew was going to hell. I didn't know anybody going to heaven. Why didn't they say, boy, listen, I love you so much, I want to help you. You don't have to go to hell. Let me tell you how not to go to hell.
Yeah, come on.
Instead, some Christians even told me to go. Amen? Yeah. I told some people before I got saved, but since I've been saved, I've never told anybody such a thing. I got mad at one fellow one day, and I was so mad I didn't know what to say. I said, oh, I'll just go to heaven. That's what you'll do too. Now, love is the number one characteristic of a church. Truth, yes. But truth without love is not the gospel. The gospel is all about love, but it's truth. And it's all about truth, but it's about love too. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he was the epitome of love itself. Amen? Now, in Matthew 22, I want you to turn over there real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. If y'all hadn't preached so long, I'd be through by now. Matthew 22. Look at it. I'm choking, y'all. Matthew 22, if you will, look at it with me. Let's start, for the sake of time, let's start with verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now he said, you want to know what the great, there's the first one. There's the great commandment. Now, let me show you what the second one is. The second is like unto it. It's about love. The second is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, what does that mean? That means this. If you love God, you're not going to go against God. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. And if you love people, you're not going to hurt people either. If you love me, you're not going to covet what I have. If you love me, you're not going to steal what I have. If you love me, you're not going to murder me. Y'all still with me? So if you love somebody, that is keeping the commandments to love thy neighbor as thyself. Then you'll keep the other commandments about your neighbor. Now if you love God, you're not going to use his name in vain. You're not going to use the Lord's day for something else. Amen. Hey, hey, hip, hip, hip. Like to say up the mountain. Hip, hip. If you love him, it's easy to obey somebody when you love him. Amen. A lot of times I hear women talk about their husband. And let me tell y'all ladies something. There are no perfect men. There's been one, but there's never been another one. The first man created wasn't perfect. I got to tell this joke. Do you know why they named, why, whenever Adam made, I mean, God made Eve out of Adam's rib and he woke Adam up. He said, what do you think about what I just made? He said, whoa, man. He didn't really know that it was going to be a lot of whoa, man. Amen, ladies. Amen. There's never been a perfect man other than Jesus Christ. We're all made out of dirt. Adam means made out of dirt. So, let me tell you something. If you'll speak the truth in love to people, and you'll treat them like you ought to, like you would want to be treated, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you'll keep a great commandment by loving people, and by loving them, you won't harm them, and that'll be keeping commandments. And if you love him, you'll love him enough to obey him, and that'll be keeping the other commandments. Do y'all see what I'm saying? This is not a big secret. And we like to brag on how we don't keep the commandments, but if we'll just do it in love, you'll keep commandments. We're supposed to love our wives as ourselves. There's so many men. I'm the man around the house. Yeah. Yeah. My funny, she runs everything. You're just a figurehead. That's all you are. Amen. And I'll tell you something else, too. A man that says he's the man of the house and won't take his wife to church, he's a liar. He ain't the man she is because he's scared to go to church and she's not. Say amen right there. But I think if Jesus looked at Cornerstone Baptist Church, he'd say, well, this place has truth, but it also has love. Our number one testimony, anybody I've ever met that came here said, man, I felt so welcome. I felt so loved. People hugged my neck. And there's some of them old cold, hard Baptists don't like people hugging their neck. I've had some of those preachers tell me they don't allow women to hug their neck. I said, you're missing a blessing. Amen. I got some little old ladies in here give me sugar every Sunday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hug them. They'll kiss me right there. And you don't know how good that is. Amen. And there ain't nothing wrong with that, loving people. It didn't say lusting. It said loving. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to greet one another with a holy kiss. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Amen. Now, if we love our fellow men, we will be glad that they came to the house of God. I want you to go through your mind right now, and it's five, well, that clock's fast, it's about seven after. I want you to go through your mind right now. Get your mind off that peanut butter and banana sandwich or chicken or whatever it is you eat. The reason I sing so well is because I eat peanut butter and banana every Sunday night with a big old glass of milk. Same thing Elvis did, and he died a good singer. That's why I sing so good. You need to try that. You need to get some of that. They'll give you some blackberry jelly to go with it. You'll be shocked what it'll do to your singing. You'll start shaking your leg like that while you're singing. But I want you to go through your mind. You thought I lost my place, didn't you? I want you to go through your mind. I want you to think about this. Is there anybody you wouldn't want to sit in your church? If there is, you don't love people like you ought to. You say, but they hurt my feelings. Well, you've hurt some feelings yourself.
Come on, man.
Well, they've done me wrong. Well, I'm sure you've done some people wrong. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't want to know what they did to you. And you ought to forget it yourself.
Come on, man. Yeah.
There's people left this church talking, hating my guts. I don't know why. I've never tried to hurt anybody. I've always tried to help people. But they'll leave here because I wouldn't let them have some position of authority or take the pulpit or something, you know. Or because they was jealous of somebody else they thought got more attention. Well, y'all pay attention to Jeffrey all the time. Well, the man weighs 400 pounds. He plays the piano. What you expect? I'm sorry. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm sure you don't weigh that much. Well, y'all pay Billy too much attention. Well, he plucks a guitar and sings out his nostrils. What else are we supposed to do? Okay. How can we not? And people leave here mad at me. And guess what? I've had years later, some of them come back and apologize and come back to church. Because I wasn't the one that was hating. They were. Now, I have asked people to leave this church. I have. I've asked them. Well, I told them. I'll just be honest with you. I told them. I didn't ask them. I'm not much at asking troublemakers. But if those people get right with God, they can sit right down here and I'd hug their neck and love them just like I would anybody else.
Amen.
Some of you have a problem with family members. You know what those family members ought to know? They'll know about your church that Jesus loves it for two reasons. Number one, they're always going to find the truth there. And number two, they'll always be welcome. We had a homosexual couple come in for a while, and I told them, I said, hey, I'm glad you're here. I want you to get all the truth you can. But you don't see husbands and wives hugging up and kissing and all that stuff around here. So I don't want you showing any signs of affection while you're here. Just come in, sit, and listen, pay attention. And everybody will greet you, and everybody will be glad you're there. Now, if you're going to show off, I got some pretty big men just touch you out. I love you, but I'll touch you out. Amen. But I believe Jesus wanted a church that majored on love.
Yes.
I mean majored on love. Not if you meet our expectations, we'll love you. We're just going to love you. Amen. Not if you fit into our socio-economical level. You know what? That's click words for you got money. we're just going to love you. Amen. It's not a poor church. It's not a rich church. It's not a black church. It's not a white church. It's not educated or uneducated. It's not middle income or upper or lower middle income. It's just a church.
Yes.
We don't care where you come from. We care more about where you're going.
Yes.
My goodness, look at the testimonies. We got a man from Michigan and people from California. And some of these other weird places, I don't even know. Ohio. Hillbilly, Ohio, on the West Virginia side. They're just ashamed to call themselves West Virginian. They act like them. What are you laughing about, Yankee? Amen. Amen. Love one another. Not if you feel like it. Not because somebody made you do it. But Brother Danny, because the love of Christ is in me. I can't help it. You know, before I got saved, I hated a lot of people. One of my friends told my wife when we were dating, said, Ronnie don't have any friends. And the sad thing is, he don't care. And I didn't. And I was telling my daughter yesterday on the way back from Lancaster, we went to the nurse home. Suzanne rode back with me. And we were talking about our lives, you know. And I said, Suzanne, I just realized something recently in the past few weeks that God put me through everything before I was saved. because he knew he was going to call me to preach if I got saved. And I've always been alone. And so on Monday, I try to take Monday off. I don't usually get Monday off, but I try. But last Tuesday, I was in three different hospitals here, Charlotte, Pineville. Then I was in two nursing homes. And then I went to visit somebody by myself. And that's a typical day. I stay by myself all the time. If I'm not at home with my wife, I'm by myself going somewhere trying to witness or minister to somebody all the time. And I don't mind it. I enjoy being alone and doing that. Y'all think, well, the preacher always wants a crowd. I really don't like crowds. I like y'all. Because I love the church, amen. But don't invite me to party, I won't come. It's not that I'm against you or your party. I just don't like crowds. I spend myself by myself most of the time. I'm by myself. Now, if the love of Christ wasn't in me and he didn't plan that, I wouldn't enjoy that. But I enjoy doing that. I enjoy the visits. I enjoy the prayers. I enjoy the ministering. Names. Terrible man. Forget people's names. Brother Kelly. Brother Kelly Coley passed away. His father's pastor was not in town. And, of course, it's Sister Shirley's nephew, right? That was your nephew, Sister Shirley. And so they asked me, would I come over there and minister to the family? And, you know, a lot of preachers would have said, no, he don't go to my church. And I don't know those people. I said, sure I will. Sure. And we went over there, and all those people got together, and I was so glad that I could do it because, of course, I saw a lot of old friends, and that room was full, and I said, let's join hands and pray over this boy. And we knew he wasn't going to live. We prayed for him to have an easy crossing and for the family. And I enjoyed that because, see, once God puts the love of Christ in you, you want to minister to other people. And I think that's the kind of place Jesus would want this to be. One day I'm going to be gone. One day you're going to be gone. The thing that we can leave is the truth.
Amen.
And the love of Christ. We can leave that behind. We don't have a lot of money. That looks like a lot of money to us. Some churches look at that and our building fund and laugh. They look at our monthly budget and say, our preacher makes more than that. <You know? laughs> But we think that's a lot of money, you know. And so we don't have a lot of money to leave. We don't have a lot of property to leave. But when we move off to heaven, we can leave a place where people can go and hear the unadulterated truth of the Word of God, and they can feel the love of Christ through those people that are there. And that's not the end of my sermon, but that's all I'm going to say. Right now there's a war going on between good and evil all around us. Whether or not we like it, we're in the middle of a battlefield.
Amen.
If you'll be honest and open your eyes, you'll see the battle.
Yes.
And there's a lot of hurting people.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of people looking for the truth that have been deceived and don't even know it. And there's a lot of people who've been looking for love and who have been deceived and don't know it because they don't know the love of Christ. So therefore, they don't know the real love of God. And if you don't know the love of God, you don't know what love is.
That's
because
right.
God is love.
Right.
And they've been deceived. They've been deceived in some kind of fakery. They're in church, but it's not the kind of church Jesus would want to be. I know times change and people change. But sooner or later, everybody in this room is going to have to pick up the sword and fight. I'm talking about the sword of the Lord. Sooner or later, you have to pick this thing up. You have to learn some of it. And you, hey, listen, you have to throw it at some people. You have to cut it back and forth, two-edged sword. Quote some scripture. That'll save a lot of your problems right there.
Amen.
Learn some scripture. That's the truth. And then sooner or later, in this battle, somebody's going to come to you wounded. And you're going to have to know the truth. And you're going to have the love of Christ to help them. People all over this town, brother, you know it well as I do, they're looking for what we've got. I'm not putting other churches down. I know there's other churches got those things. But I'm saying this. There's people that we know that are looking for the truth and the love. And Jesus said, if a man's got a candle, he don't hide it under a bush. He holds it up so the whole world can see it. If people knew what we had here, we'd have to build a church 4 or 5 times as big as what we have now. They just don't know. They've never experienced it. They think, well, y'all having church. No. No, we're having church that Jesus would like to go to.
Amen.
So I want you to make me a promise this week, okay? Most of you are church members. Those that aren't, you might as well. I asked a guy last week, I said, I don't know why you hadn't joined this church. You've been coming here for 6 years. You say amen when I preach. You tithe. You give extra money. You go with me to visit people. Why haven't you joined the church? Well, I just don't know, preacher. I ain't got settled. I said, after 6 years, you ain't got it settled. <What'd> you... But some of you may not be members, but you can make this commitment with us who are members that we'll keep this place a place of truth. People need truth. And we'll keep this place a place of love. And if we'll do that, we won't have to run a bunch of TV ads or newspaper ads. We won't have to have people out on the street corner carrying signs. The Holy Ghost of God through us will draw people. Would you commit tonight that you would do that, that you would help Him draw people to what we have? We've got it, see? My wife asked me the other day, she said, if you didn't go to Cornerstone Baptist Church, if it didn't exist, where would you go to church at Rock Hill? I said, I don't know. I've looked around. I'm not against anybody, and I'm not putting anybody down. But I don't know where I'd go to church, because I don't know where I'd find this. And some of you looked for it and didn't find it in other places. And we've got it. I'm not speaking proudly. I'm saying Jesus, this is the kind of church Jesus wants. So why don't we lift Him up? Amen? Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. And Brother Dan, the Lord has sent him in here. He sent you. He sent that fellow behind you. He sent that fellow right there. And I know I pick at y'all. He sent you. I pick at y'all. I know. But I didn't find you. He did. Because we're doing the right thing.
Yes.
Now, I know sometimes you get mad at me and you think I'm old-fashioned dinosaur and all this stuff. But there ain't no need to change something if it works. Look, I know my first T-bone steak, I was 18 years old. I had never eaten a steak. I was dating my wife at that, no, I was 19. I was dating my wife at that time. I lived in Lancaster. She lived up here. I worked at the bleachery. Her mama, she came to me on one of our dates. She said, my mama wants you to come to dinner. I'd never been to a girl's house to eat. The girls that I knew wanted you to feed them. So I'd pull over to the Cracker Machine, Pepsi Cola Machine, get them Pepsi. But she invited me, and I said, well, what are you having? Thinking I could get out of it. She said, T-bone steaks. I said, what? She said, T-bone steaks. Now, we called ground, round, mashed, and padded steak. I said, well, I ain't never had T-bone steak. So I went over there, and I had my first T-bone steak. And I fell in love. And anytime my wife said, mama wants you to come eat, I'm coming. I'll be right down there. Amen. You'd have to beg me twice. And once I tasted that, you couldn't give me, hey, look, you couldn't give me a pork chop after that. I wasn't eating no stinking chicken neck or gizzards or neck. I was going to eat some steak. And the same way, when I found the truth and the love, you ain't giving me nothing else.
Yes.
You ain't giving me nothing. I've lost friends over it because they want to eat candy. I don't want candy. I want steak. Amen. They want to eat salad. Just push that salad over. I want the real thing, man. I want steak. I want it thick. You know what I'm talking about. The man runs from greens like it's all poison oak. He wants to eat steak. Now, if we'll give them a little steak, they'll come back. Y'all already got it. You got the steak. You got to learn how to share it. That's all. We need to, like that old song, come and dine, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. Now, if there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You need to come up here and get you a taste. I know that's not King James English, but it's Southern English. You need to come up here and get you a taste of the real thing. You get the real thing, you won't be fooled again. It'll satisfy you. Let's stand. Come on, Brother Dan. Leave.